Welcome to the LRNteach.com podcast, helping you consider Christian education for the poor and marginalized from a theonomic perspective. LearnTeach.com advises you to cease from man and to think God's thoughts after him. Find us at LRNteach.com, on YouTube, and in the iTunes Store. Contact me at facebook.com/Christian.education. LRNteach.com is concerned with Christian education for the poor and marginalized. But what do you do when there are 160 million poor and marginalized in your country and a very few middle class and millionaires and billionaires? And a substantial number of Muslims to boot, and even the thick end of 1,000 languages? The answer is that you make a start with what God has given you according to the burden that he has laid upon your heart. You make a start and you keep going. Moreover, you seek to multiply your impacts through the use of media, for example, books. And you don't give people the lowest common denominator message. You don't give them the watered down gospel. You give them the claims of Christ at full strength. You give them a comprehensive biblical worldview. Chooks is seeing an impact being made with his work in Nigeria, and according to our gifts and God's providence, this may be a model that we can copy and implement in our small corner of the vineyard. It's a real pleasure for me to introduce this edition of the Learn Teach podcast. The guest comes from a country with the world's greatest number of people in Bible colleges, an oil-rich country whose population is projected to exceed that of the United States by 2050, a country with no fewer than 800 languages. Unfortunately, it is only known for internet scams involving inheritances and bank details. This country, I believe, by virtue of its population and its central place in the continent with the greatest rate of church growth on the planet, and also its preponderant influence upon the world's largest Protestant communion, that is Anglicanism, and for many other reasons, will increasingly become a cornerstone in the inexorable rebuilding of Christendom worldwide. The country is, of course, Nigeria, and our guest is Mr. Chuks Ezamandu. Chuks, can you introduce yourself and give us a little flavor of your background, please?
I was born several years ago to a soldier of the then West African frontier. By that time, Nigeria didn't have a standing army. So what we had then was the West African frontier. My dad was a military personnel in that military setup. It was then run by the British. And eventually he resigned and became a diplomat in the Organization of African Unity, known today as African Union. And that was when I was born. I attended the Salvation Army School, and eventually that was terminated by the 3 years of Nigeria's Civil War. Immediately after the Civil War, I completed my primary education and proceeded to attend the Anglican Secondary School in Nigeria, and after that I proceeded to the university to acquire a first degree in mathematics. While I was in secondary school, I became converted. I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and after my graduation I went into ministry with the Pentecostal Church as a full-time pastor for 10 years, but I left the Pentecostal circle and rejoined the Anglican Church, and joined their seminary. For the moment, I'm a finalist at the Anglican Seminary, and I'll be ordained into the priesthood in about 6 months' time. So it's important to mention that one of the main things, and well, I wouldn't even say one of the main things, I would say the main thing that made me to move back to the Anglican Church was through the website www.freebooks.com. There are some free books posted there, written by Gary North, Gentry, you know, Gary Dima, and so I read almost all the books posted there, and that was the main thing that inspired me to go to the Anglican Church and to apply to the seminary.
You were a pastor in the Pentecostal Church, but are now being ordained in the Anglican Church. Is that correct?
When I was with the Pentecostal Church, I was at one time for 5 years precisely. I was the rector of their Bible College and also the director of their publication. And for 5 years, I also taught in the largest Pentecostal Bible College. And for the moment, about 10 years now, I'm running a publishing outfit, which I use as a means of publishing books with a bias for biblical worldview. While in the Pentecostal circle, I was the director of the publication for the church I worked with. That was how I developed my skill in publishing. And when I went to the Anglican Church, I decided to use that knowledge. It was not mainly for publishing biblical worldview books. It was when I went to the Anglican Church that I changed it to publishing biblical worldview books.
How did you first come into contact with the doctrines of postmillennialism, theonomy, and Christian Reconstructionism?
It happened this way. I worked with a Pentecostal bishop who is late now. He died in 1995. And he was somebody who was teaching the biblical worldview, doing perfectly. He once talked on a topic he titled The Christian and Politics. One day, I attended a ministerial meeting in Lagos, and I taught on that same topic, just reproducing what I had from my mentor. When I finished, a Pentecostal bishop walked up to me and pushed a book into my face and said, "You preach like you have read this book." And I took the book from him, and it was titled The Christian and Politics, written by Robert Tobon. And I said, "Can I read it?" And when I got back home, I googled that title. That was how it brought out several sites, including three books. And that was how I came in contact with the books of Gary North and the rest.
So you were publishing more lightweight, perhaps pietistic material, but after exposure to Christian teaching, which addressed the whole of life from a biblical worldview, the focus of your publications changed dramatically?
Before then, I was a kind of preaching like my mentor, whom I call an enthusiastic pre-millennialist. But in contact with the books of Gary North and so on, I became a post-millennialist. And that made all the difference in the change of my publishing industry.
How did the Lord lead you into publishing? Did you just fall into it?
Just to fall as a child, I was a voracious reader. 7, 8 years, 10 years, I read through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And I also remember those days, there were so much of the books of, you know, I used to read a lot of them. And that was how I developed the skill in reading and then, of course, in writing. And I discovered that I have this bite when I write. You know, I have this bite when I write. And I thank God and the Lord convinced me that that's a very powerful means of ministry. And when I came across the biblical worldview, I saw that writing skill as an instrument in making it as popular as possible, at least within my own country.
So your desire is to reach the whole country with quality Christian books which address all of the key areas of Nigerian life from a biblical worldview.
In my country, Nigeria, it is strange for you to teach the gospel without touching the practical day-to-day life as it affects the Christian. Politics, education, culture, family, you will sound like a charlatan if you preach without touching those areas. What some ministers of the gospel do who are ignorant of biblical worldview is that they will fall back on the animistic religious philosophy and begin to practice a kind of syncretism. So if you are living in this environment, you must preach the biblical worldview or else you practice syncretism. There's no middle ground between it.
So there is a Christianity which is preached and taught in Nigeria, but it is radically truncated, and the meat on this rather skinny gospel is provided by the old animistic ways of African traditional religion, leading to a rather diseased body of Christ, troubled with the cancer of syncretism. Is that what you're saying?
Let me put it better. Let me put it this way. It's not like in the West, where you can preach a pietistic Christianity. It can't happen here. You can't really preach a pietistic Christianity here. Because the average African man, particularly the Nigerian man, cannot separate religion from the practicalities of life. His religion permeates everything he does, permeates his thinking, permeates everything, the way he sees the world. So he can't really separate it. So it's either somebody is going to preach a syncretistic religion here, or you're going to preach the biblical worldview.
So you're saying that people are hungry for a preaching that applies the faith to all of life?
Oh, yes. That's why the biblical worldview preaching is a wonderful message at this time. People are hungry. People are looking for it. We are rolling out hundreds of thousands of books annually, and people just buy it up. They're hungry. We have a very virgin field here for the biblical worldview teaching.
So, how do you work as a biblical worldview publisher?
Now, this is the fundamental way my company operates. A minister preaches, and we encourage him to put that message into writing. And of course, before we do that, we first of all see that it's a message that can be packaged in the biblical worldview, that we sit down with him and begin to fine-tune the major points in his message, and then teaching the biblical worldview perspective of what he has written. And if he accepts it, then we encourage him to rewrite that book with a bias for the biblical worldview. And after he does that, the next thing is for him to now come to our editing department, where we now make further research using the books from the site I mentioned earlier. So now rewrite it in the context of the further research we have made. And then it goes to press.
What kind of topics do your books address, and what are some of your best sellers?
One particular book I mentioned is titled The Cloud Coming of Christ. In Nigeria, we have 20 million Anglicans. We have 14 ecclesiastical provinces. And each ecclesiastical province is presided over by an archbishop. Now, there's this particular ecclesiastical province called the Bendo ecclesiastical province. There was this priest from that province that wanted me to do a book for him. And this was somebody I discussed the post-millennial teaching with some years ago. And he was able to go to the site that I mentioned earlier and was able to put this book together. And we did the final editing and writing. And of course, as a priest, before he publishes a book, the archbishop has to at least put a thumb up for the book. And this archbishop received this book and studied it for about 5 months. And by virtue of studying it, the archbishop's eschatological philosophy changed. It was pre-millennial, but by virtue of studying that book, it became post-millennial. And that implies that officially the whole of that ecclesiastical diocese has now become post-millennial. We are talking about a population of about 2 million. So I went ahead and printed the book. So that's just an example of how we function. Then there's also another one, the wife of a bishop. We did a book for her titled The Biblical Approach to Widowhood. some aspects of our culture mistreat widows. And this woman took time to make a tremendous research in that area from biblical perspective. And we did the usual thing, did some further research. And the book has gone through two printings now. We have done some books in the area of politics, in the area of education, and so on. You know, and in the area of confronting the unbiblical aspect of evangelicalism.
What are the particular problems in evangelicalism that you are seeking to confront in your books?
The main problem is that of ignoring the biblical worldview, that pietistic. And the second problem is popular word of faith movement. They teach prosperity. I see prosperity is just a hint on giving to the church or to ministers and then sitting down and expecting to receive back a hundredfold what you have given. And that is creating a culture of misery among our youth. You also have the issue of saying that we are God. We are members of the God class. This is peculiar with the word of faith movement. In fact, the word of faith teachings became popular in this country through the teachings of Luke Kenneth Hagin of Tulsa, Oklahoma.
So there's a growing number of Nigerian authors under your wing, as it were, who are publishing books from a biblical worldview. That is most encouraging. But why should a Reformed, Theonomic, and Christian Reconstructionist be particularly interested in Nigeria and what you're doing?
No falsehood can last forever. So for several years, the average Nigerian Christian has been syncretistic. And then along the line, they began to realize something was wrong. And in the context of that realization, a number of people like us began to preach the biblical worldview. And it's like they say, this is what we ought to be preaching, this is what we ought to be listening to. This is what we ought to be studying. So that's exactly where the interest is. The more people we reach and the faster time we reach them, the better for the biblical worldview in this country.
Where does the interest in your work come from? Is it mostly the lay people, mostly ordained people?
The interest cuts across. It cuts across the Orthodox, like the Anglican, the Methodist, Presbyterians, and so on. It also cuts across the Pentecostals. Both ordained and the laity, it just cuts across. Yes, there are bishops who have been influenced, there are archbishops who have been influenced, there are laity leaders, there are evangelists who have been influenced, there are pastors who have been influenced.
Mandela has passed away. He made a lot of waves in his time, and perhaps never more so than at his death. Does Africa need another Mandela?
Let me begin with the positive aspect of Mandela. Even though he was a Marxist, when he became president after he was released from prison, he didn't go on a vengeful mission against the whites and against the capitalists. I would say that that's his major point. But that does not still remove the fact that he was a Marxist. In fact, I consider someone like Mandela more dangerous than a clearly avowed Marxist who is consistent with his philosophy. Why do I say that? Because Mandela is like a saint. Now, even to some Christians, there's that danger that especially the Africans will, because of Mandela, begin to baptize the principles of Marxism and, of course, the principles of black liberation theology. That's the main danger in the issue of Mandela. In that context, I will say that we don't need another Mandela. The problem caused by the one that is dead is enough. And we are going to spend several years dealing with that. And the result of their policies is evident in South Africa. South Africa are humanistic. South Africa, if I'm correct, is the only country in Africa that has a policy in favor of same-sex marriage. And that's very strange because no other African country, as far as I know, has that kind of policy. In fact, the policies of the average African country, including Nigeria, is to pass laws against same-sex marriage, against homosexuality. The black population are being destroyed by liberalism in South Africa. The average girl as young as 14 have had abortions, have had sex, have become pregnant out of wedlock. And so what are we talking about here? We don't need another Mandela. We don't need another Mandela. The one that has come and gone has created enough problems.
Who or what then does Africa need?
Africa needs a character like that of the early African Christian fathers, like Augustine. Unfortunately, in the modern era, we have not seen people like that from Africa. You know, every person that can be brought forward today as an African hero is either a humanist or a traditionalist. We have not seen any truly biblical African hero. We are in great need of that. A hero that can contextualize Christianity and preach it in the context of a biblical worldview. We have not gotten one yet, but we are in faith that one will come up. We don't even need just one. We need plenty of them. We need plenty of them. We don't just need one. The days of saying that God is looking for a man, I think that's an erroneous gospel. God is looking for raising up a generation of people. We're looking forward to the raising up a generation of people in Africa that has a biblical worldview and are ready to commit their life to it and even die for it. And the greatest challenge in people like that coming up, our generation have had at least an 80% dose of liberal education. So it's not easy to separate the humanism we see from the West, from progress. It takes a formidable revelation of the Bible in the context of biblical worldview to say, hey, what is coming from the West is not good. And then to separate what is coming from the liberal West, and then to be able to trace the progress in the West to that Christian past. That's going to take a formidable courage and a formidable revelation. And then now to contextualize it enough to be able to produce progress in Africa, politically, institutionally, and so on. That's exactly what we need.
I firmly believe that there's no reason why Africa should not rise from its current abasement as the comprehensive biblical gospel is preached and taught and applied and the kingdom of God advances throughout the continent. I believe that it is ministries like yours which are the cement in the building blocks of the kingdom of God. You can't build the wall, you can't build the structure with the polystyrene play bricks of pietism or the crooked cinder blocks of the word of faith deception. Do you have any parting thoughts that you'd like to leave with us?
We really need technical assistance in that area. E-book marketing or e-marketing, generally speaking. We really need technical assistance in that area. We have not yet come to a place where we can put our books in e-book form. We look forward to that because it will reach a wider audience. And I also realize that except you have an e-account, often very possible. So we're working on putting up an e-account. So we can place our books in sites like Amazon and so on. That's the next stage. And I think we should be able to accomplish that by the early part of this year.
Thanks again to Chooks for his agreeing to take time out from his busy schedule. I want to encourage you, if you have experience of e-marketing or m-marketing, and if you know specifically how to provide e-payments within Nigeria, do get in touch with Chooks and do get in touch with him and friend him and encourage him as well. He's there on Facebook. Thanks for listening. I hope you found it edifying. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and YouTube. remember to think God's thoughts after him by the power of the Holy Spirit. Until next time, every blessing in the Lord.